Blog Talk Radio.
Y'all ready? Let's go!
Listening to the Spirit Alive Christian Podcast Network, your global transformation station. Good evening, everyone. I'm Bishop Shalane Cook, founder, owner, and executive producer of the Spirit Alive Network. And you are indeed in for something good, because I would like to welcome you to Wounded No More for this Thursday, September the 9th, 2021. And now, here is your anointed host and facilitator, Prophetess Vanessa Carver.
Good evening, everyone, and thank you, Bishop Cook, for the introduction. Once again, we are here with Wounded No More to encourage you, to edify you, to build you up, and to lead you to where God wants you to be. Today's topic is going to be dealing with emotional health and how God deals with that. So when I thought of a subtitle, the subtitle I said is had to do with the things that are bothering you are ruining the call of God on your life. I don't think I worded it like that when I did send it to Bishop Cook, but it had to do with those internal wars and conflicts that we in our soul that we don't take care of that affects God's purpose and ministry in our life and eventually the people as well. This has been heavy on my heart for years, not just today, not just this week, not just this year. This has been on my heart heavy ever since I think 2015 or 16. And then I think in 2016, I did a broadcast, not on Spirit Alive, but on my own on FaceTime, where it was called Taking Care of the Servant's Heart. It had to do with, I did like only a five-part series, but it really had to do with the things that I saw people in the body of Christ struggling with, the things that I had struggled with in leadership and accepting the call of God on my life. And just understanding how it makes sense to us and how we're to carry the things that God gave us, not necessarily the things that we picked up. And it just really is on my heart that we get in a healthy, whole place. That is not easy. It has to be a choice, and it has to be something that's ongoing. And so this is where I'm starting. I'm going to probably do more than one part of this series. It's called Being Emotionally Healthy. And the thing that inspired me was an author by the name of Peter. His name is Peter Cazero. He's done a series of books. He's a minister out of, I think he's out of the state of California or maybe the East Coast. And he did a series of books and teachings on being emotionally healthy, spiritually emotionally healthy, not necessarily as a leader, but as a child of God. And that book, reading that book, came from a prayer that I prayed about God showing me how he wanted me to help our leaders and to be healthy and to be strong and to be not burning out. I saw a lot of burnout. I mean, this is right before, this is in 2016, so this is right before we started to see all the suicides that we saw. I think that came the year after, or maybe probably in 2016. There were some suicides actually in ministry. And it started to really, really bother me. And so, you know, of course, we pray for our leaders, and I will be praying after this lesson for whatever God lays on my heart pertaining to this subject. But it started off, I heard this scripture like earlier this week, probably late last week, in Psalms 19. This is David talking about his presumptuous sin, willful sin that he wanted God to take from him. It starts in Psalms 19, verse 12 through 14. I am reading out of the Amplified Version primarily tonight. Who can understand his errors or his omissions? Acquit me of hidden, unconscious, and unintended faults. This is what this version says, but some other versions say deliberate sin, willful sin, presumptuous sin. Also keep your servant from presumptuous, deliberate, willful sins. Let them not rule and have control over me. Then I will be blameless and complete, and I shall be acquitted of great transgression. Let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable and pleasing in your sight, O Lord, my firm, immovable rock and my redeemer. It goes back. The reason why I thought about that scripture in relation to emotional health and soul issues is because there's many things that we get in conflict as servants. There are things that we bring to our platform and to our mentors as servant leaders that we are not always dealing with. And I think in some cases it keeps some people away from leadership is because they have internal things that they think they can deal with on their own or resolve on their own. And sometimes that is saying, I know this stuff is in you and I know you're not perfect, but I want you to release all these things to me and go and serve, you know, anyway, and not allow these things to get in the way, but allow me to deal with it. So he develops many times areas in our soul to be healthy and whole through how we serve. But I want to talk about the deliberate sins in a couple of categories tonight. Now, there's many, but the things that God had been dealing with me about started in how we cope with those things inside of us emotionally and in our soul. So let me define soul so you'll know exactly what I'm talking about. It has to do with the will, the mind, and specifically tonight, the emotions. And so when I talk about soul issues, I'm specifically talking about in your emotions. And I'm going to talk about unhealthy coping mechanisms that we do, show or manifest, exhibit when we're not taking care of our emotions, when we're not allowing our emotions to be healed. Once again, I want to remind you that this all show is called Wounded No More. Therefore, wounded no more in every area. It doesn't mean you're not working on that, but never stop working on those things that trip you up, that put you in this category that David was talking about, being deliberate and willful, things that people don't see. I've even heard this passage referring to being interpreted as presumptuous, meaning things that you just do and you don't think about. You never stop to think about these things have are in antithesis to the character of God in you, and you just do them. That's just how I am. You know how I am, that kind of stuff. So that can be considered presumptuous sin as well. Now, it's one thing to have this issue with your emotions, and you are new in Christ, you are learning, but when you are serving, there's a standard, and it's more about your relationship with God. And as you hear my teaching, I'll be discussing some of the things that of these inner conflicts that end up affecting our exterior service and how we see ourselves, how we see God. And these are unhealthy coping mechanisms. Let me define coping mechanisms. They are strategies, believe it or not, that people often use in the face of stress and or trauma to help manage the painful or difficult emotions. And so when I say coping mechanisms that leaders use in ministry, people pleasing is one I'm going to talk about. Trusting man instead of God, as well as being afraid of people as well. I'm going to go back and forth to different examples in the word, of course, but I'm sure many of us can think of different unhealthy coping mechanisms, but tonight I'm going to talk about people pleasing, fear of people, and trusting man in your ministry, in your call, in your purpose. And getting, for whatever reason, feeling insecure, dealing with rejection, whatever it may be, not forgiving yourself, not being receptive to the forgiveness of God, rather, unforgiveness towards others. There can be so many reasons of why you might have internal conflict with yourself. I know for me specifically, I didn't realize this, but when God began to heal me, you never think of it this way. You think of, well, I know I need to be healed. I know I need to, you know, deal with some things in my life, God. And some things we know what they are, some things we don't. But I don't think we ever realize that many times when God begins to heal us, other stuff gets uncovered. Stuff that we didn't know and stuff that maybe someone else didn't bring to our attention. And the more that we serve, the more that we see these things. Maybe somebody's dealing with being impatient. Maybe somebody's feeling like, which I am going to talk about tonight, about being, thinking you're better than somebody else and condescending and looking down on somebody. There's so many things, and it just depends on the person and their background and their childhood and so on and so forth that makes them unstable emotionally. in serving. And a lot of times there's things that they do, which are unhealthy coping mechanisms, to kind of cover that up and soothe it or mask it, if you will. So I want to go to Proverbs 29 and 25 as well, because it talks about people pleasing. And it's important that we don't get into that. It's easy to get into that when you have a lot to do in the body of Christ. When you have a lot on your plate, you might find yourself falling into some of these habits, because you just go. You're just so busy. You're just trying to go along and get along with everybody. And next thing you know, you find yourself in this place. Proverbs 29. Let me see. And then, like I said, I'll probably be reading from the Amplified because the wording is just right on point for me tonight based on these scriptures. And so I'm going to be heading over there and reading out loud. Now, remember what I always say about reading the word tonight. If there's any scriptures that ring a bell to you or anything that makes sense to you, search it out. Begin to use that to talk to the Lord and to examine your own heart about different things that you might be dealing with. And don't change it, but make it your own. So he's talking about the fear of man. So we're talking about fear, right? Brings a snare. But whoever trusts in and puts his confidence in the Lord will be exalted and safe. I mean, that's a simple scripture. Fear of man brings a snare. Whoever trusts in and puts his confidence in the Lord will be exalted and safe. I'm telling you right there, when you read that and you just read it over and over again and think about it and sit on it, it begins to help you understand that he has got to be, the Lord has to be the core reason why you do what you do, period, not people. Even though, you know, you want people to be blessed, you want people to be healed, you want people to grow, but you can't control a lot of that. Actually, most of it you can't. So you have to not put yourself in a place where you are being controlled, whether it's emotionally or especially emotionally, by people. It's a trap. And before you know it, you'll look up and you'll be like, how did I get here? You have to trust in God and put your confidence in him. And that keeps you so stable. Have you ever noticed when you begin to trust people or you begin to put people in places where you should be putting God, that you become very, it creates this level of anxiety that is ridiculous. And so if that's what you're dealing with, begin to trust God more. Put your confidence in him. He'll show you, you know, if those people come alongside you, who's to help you build, who's to be there, who your department, how you're supposed to look at them and perceive them. But don't put your trust in people. It doesn't mean you walk around paranoid either. God shows you who you can trust in and how you can encourage other people that are struggling with trusting other people as well, because that's rampant as well. But there's not necessarily a cause in Christ. So if you're working together, and what I mean by that is don't focus so much on trusting people, trust God, period. That's really it. And you can work alongside, you can build with other people, you can serve with other people, but at the end of the day, don't fear people. It's a trap. And then in Luke 12, Jesus said, let me see, in Luke 12, verses, and I'm still doing the Amplified, I think it was 12, Luke 12, verses 4. I say to you, my friends, do not be afraid of those who kill the body and after that have nothing more that they can do. But I will point out to you whom you should fear. Fear the one who, after he has killed, has authority and power to hurl you into his hell. Yes, I say to you, stand in great awe of God and fear him. Reverently fear him. Are not five sparrows sold for 2 copper coins? Yet not one of them has ever been forgotten in the presence of God. Indeed, the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Do not be afraid. You are more valuable than many sparrows. So this is Jesus speaking to his disciples about not fearing people and really focusing on who's the one that can destroy you and have a, and it can put you in an internal place of fire, hell. Stand in great awe of God and fear him. He's just reminding them he's got to be the focus, people. Don't be ensnared with trying to please people and trying to and being afraid of them. Now, let's talk about this a little bit. This is my own two cents about fear versus pleasing people. I think they're really akin. They're close together. They work together. You're trying to please people, maybe there's some level of fear of repercussions if you don't please them. So usually if you're trying to please them, there's some level of fear. Now, you may not be able to detect it or understand where it even root of it comes from, but it's there somewhere. So if you're just, if you say, for instance, I can use myself as an example. If I'm trying to make everybody happy or trying to please people, it's because maybe it makes me feel like I matter. And I matter whether I please people or not. That's me saying that in my head, but I got to get that in my heart. So I'm just using that to help you understand and critically be able to think through, why are you afraid of people? And why are you trying to please people? That's your focus. No, you don't want people to be disappointed. No, you don't want people to not like you, but you can't really control that. Do focus on what God has told you to do. Focus on how he has told you to do it. And believe it or not, it really does include loving people. And treating people right. So it's not like you should be the other extreme where you don't care and you're just, you know, your love walk is horrible towards people that you serve. No, be mindful of them, but don't try to please them. Try to please God first. Try to please God only. That's what I really would say. Love on people. Love them and learn to love them and let that develop your love walk, is your desire to please God. That will develop your love walk towards people. You can't put the cart, you can if you want to. You can put the cart before the horse, but it won't move. So the more that you learn to love God and serve him and be fearful, reverently fearful of him, it'll teach you and help you facilitate you to love people. Now, pleasing people, trying to be, being afraid of people. And the next one is trusting people. Okay. All three of these are very much connected. I remember a couple of weeks ago when I was thinking of my next message, it was having to do all about pleasing people. But the Lord was saying, I want you to tie in that emotional component in this and get people to understand where they are versus where they should be. And I said, okay. So he brought me back around to this trusting people. In the book of Jeremiah, specifically, he's telling the people not to trust man. Jeremiah 17, is a really good book because he is, when I saw this one, it talks about your heart, really. And he's talking about Judah and the things that they've gone through and being punished. And in verse 4, there's repercussions for them trusting men. He said, and you will through your own fault let go of your grip and inheritance that I gave you. And I will make you serve your enemies in a land which you do not know, for you have kindled a fire in my anger which will burn forever. And in 5, he says, thus says the Lord, cursed is the man who trusts and relies on mankind. This is one of their... this is one of the reasons why they were, why God was bringing judgment on them, is because they had trusted in people. They were more focused on pleasing man. Cursed is a man who trusts and relies on mankind, making weak, faulty human flesh his strength. Like, that's your strength. That's your stability as people. When I'm the God who has delivered you, I have never failed you. I'm faithful. So God has had enough with them and said that they were cursed because they trusted in people. And whose mind and heart turn away from God. These people are weak in flesh and blood, and their minds have nothing to do with the heart of God. I think this is maybe an extreme example of people that were called by God and were his people and who he loved and protected and was faithful forever to them. Even his hands was always stretched out to a hard-hearted people. They started trusting people, and he was like, you know, you get the repercussions of what you do. And this is what you, your disobedience, you're focusing on people instead of doing what I've told you to do. There's this is what happens. Curse. Curse is the man who trusts in and relies on mankind. And this, I will tell you, is an unhealthy coping mechanism. People trust in people they can see. You know, all their five senses are involved in trusting people. Well, you said you would do this, and I saw you. You said you would come and do this. So what we can hear, what we can understand, and all our intellect is too much invested in people, and I get it. It's easy to do. It's a no-brainer to decide, I'm just going to trust them. Well, and then you get mad when there's failure. Then you get mad or get disappointed or hurt when there's betrayal. But don't trust them. Remember I said, you don't have to put them in a place where God should be. Only trust God. Doesn't mean you don't love them. Doesn't mean you don't give them an opportunity to show you something, whether you trust them or not. I mean, it really has to be what God deals with your heart about. Why do you trust people more than you trust me? When I told you that, you didn't believe me, but you believed what that person said over me, and you put them at a higher place than you should be. They're going to fail you one day. And God is not, he wants to be first in our lives, not people. Even us saying we can only trust ourselves. Have you ever heard somebody say, only person I can depend on is me. I can't depend on nobody else. If you want something done right, do it yourself. All that kind of self-prideful talk. Well, it's just another example of you trusting yourself. It's you trusting man, trusting yourself is the same thing. It tells us not to do that. That's a coping mechanism. I think on some levels we think we can control what we can see. We can control what our experiences have shown us in our past perspectives and things of that nature. So we think we can control those things, and those are the things we trust. Now, we know we can't trust God. I mean, not trust God. We know we can't control God. Excuse me. We cannot control God. So for some of us, that is a little bit hard. That's a harder task. That's a challenge because we can't control God. And so it's easy, once again, to get into those unhealthy coping mechanisms and our feelings, because every time I trust God, I just get stressed. Every time I begin to just put that in God's hands, I begin to have all this anxiety and things like that, fear in your emotions. God let me down here and God let me down there. And people that we all have lists of why or why we think we don't trust God or why we trust men versus God. And I truly believe, even though he's saying it's a curse, you know, when we put people, that's close to idolatry. When we put people where God should be, you know, that's idolatry. We are in some ways hoping and giving them credit where credit is not due, and we should be giving it to God. And many of us have been in that place where we've done that, you know, and hopefully we can learn from that when we have exercised trusting people to the point where God is nowhere in the equation. You put people where they shouldn't be in the first place. So you can't get too mad. I guess you can if you want to, but you waste energy and time when you get too mad about putting your trust in people where you shouldn't have in the first place. And like I said, until we really learn to love God and trust him and believe him and try to please him, how can we truly love people? Because everything is out of whack if we're not loving him first or learning to love him first and being receptive to his love. So all that thing about stuff about trying to trust and please people and being afraid of people, it keeps you out of whack. So in Psalms 146, verses 3, it says, do not trust in princes and mortal man, in whom there is no salvation or help. And so princes can be like maybe our government, you know, people of authority, and in mortal man whom there is no salvation or help. Okay. Once again, he is telling us, don't put your trust in people and what they represent. And even though God is a God of order, and, you know, as serving other people, well, I have to trust him to a certain extent. Well, this is what I believe. If you trust in God, he'll tell you, you know, how to maneuver around people, how to walk in love towards people, if you're over certain people who tell you who to put or whatever. But I think you need to be careful of what your expectations are. Don't set people up to fail either. I don't believe in that either, because that goes back to a prideful mindset where people say, if you want something right, downright, just I'm the only one that can do it. That's pride as well. So there's somewhere in the middle where you have to understand what you're dealing with and just let God lead and guide you. Be open to how the Holy Spirit leads and guides you when it comes to serving people and taking care of people and taking care of yourself as well. Like, don't put so much on your plate, because the only person I can trust is me. You can't even trust yourself after. I can't stand hearing that either. That's just a level of self-deception as well. I mean, when he says man in all these different texts and scripture verses, if you too, you're included in that. I'm included in that, not just other people. So don't fall into a place of self-deception. In Psalm 20, verse 7, it says, some trust in chariots, some in horses, but we will remember and trust in the name of the Lord. Many of us are familiar with that. So sometimes we had to be reminded, where is my trust supposed to be in the first place? Where is my confidence in? Where is my faith in? It's in God. It's in God's purposes. It's in God's will. It's in the things that he's called me to, how he told me to do it. It's in the things he's shown me. It's in the things that he has led me to and led me through. I have to be healthy in my response to dealing with my emotions. Now, many people in ministry have been hurt. They've been betrayed, lied on, manipulated, intimidated, you name it, right? And so for whatever reason, there's so many different narratives in this, but I want people to understand that we don't have to exercise in this unhealthy coping mechanism utility. We do not have to have it. We do not have to be this way. We need to be aware if we are doing these things. We need to be aware if we're struggling with trying to be important or validated. We need to be important. We need to be mindful of the fact that, why am I so insecure? What is going on? Why am I so focused on pleasing these people, this denomination, this ministry, or whatever? Then I know God called me to have a talk with Jesus. I'm serious. Prayer is a powerful thing, but when we begin to just dialogue with the Lord, which is part of prayer, he tells us about ourselves. If he'll ask us questions, sit still, and I tell you, he'll answer them for you. He'll say, why are you afraid of people? It goes all the way back to all authority figures. In some of us, it goes all the way back to when we were a child. Some things are unhealed. We're afraid of repercussions. We're afraid of looking bad. So we try to please people, so we end up over-serving or constantly being busy and being, the one who's always there, and yet our needs aren't being met spiritually. We're not dealing with our own issues inside. We're being dishonest with ourselves and with others about what's wrong with us, and I think that that's a problem, and we see the manifestations of those things almost on a daily basis in ministry. Some people have burned out. Some people have turned all the way away from God. There's horrific things that have happened, like I mentioned before, when it comes to the pressures of dealing with ministry. People have turned to all kinds of addictions and all of this, divorces and whatnot. And I think that this is me just scraping the surface of why we see what we see. But we have to examine ourselves, everyone. In 2 Corinthians, let's go to 2 Corinthians 2 Corinthians 3:13 is one of my favorite ones, because it talks about examining ourselves. It talks about not leaning to our own understanding and understanding what we've done. Because, see, the Holy Spirit sure does help us with these things. He wants to. He shows us things about not just everybody else. He shows us things about ourselves as well. When we are serving, are we unbalanced? Are we, a little lopsided, you know, going through the motions, you name it. And here, 2 Corinthians chapter 13, specifically verses 1 all the way through 14, the whole chapter is basically talking about examining yourself. I'm just going to read verse 5. Test and evaluate yourself to see whether you are in the faith, living your lives as committed believers. Examine yourself, not me. This is Paul saying, don't examine me, examine yourself. Or do you not recognize this about yourself by an ongoing experience that Jesus Christ is in you? You know, some people sway back and forth about their commitment to God, whether they believe certain things, and they still serving, and they're not taking care of those things, and they're not taking those burdens to God, and they're not talking to other people that they can actually go to and talk, and a man is safe, and the company of counselors and people who know them and keep you accountable, but tell you the truth and pray for you and whatnot, and you support each other. But if you're not being honest about what these things are making you heavy, I'm just going through the motions, and I don't even know. I don't have a relationship with God like I should. I don't know why I stopped it at that. I'm judging people, observe all kinds of stuff. So this is why I put test and evaluate yourself to see whether you're in the faith. If you're not, that doesn't mean things stop. That means let's deal with this. Let's deal with this. This is important. You don't have to crash and burn, you know. But he said, I pray. So let's continue to read this. Unless indeed you fail the test and are rejected as counterfeit. See, then we become, hypocrites. I mean, every time you turn around, you hear somebody talking about Christians are hypocrites. Most of them are hypocrites. They don't live or believe in half of the stuff they speak about. And maybe this is one of the things that Paul is talking about. But I hope you will acknowledge that we do not fail the test, nor are we to be rejected. But I pray to God that you may do nothing wrong, not so that we and our teaching may appear to be approved, but that you may continue doing what is right, even though we, by comparison, may seem to have failed. So for we can do nothing against the truth, but only for the truth and the gospel and the good news of salvation. We are glad when we are weak. He's saying this, since God's power comes freely through us, but by comparison are strong. We also pray for this. So many times your vulnerability, right, before the Lord and before those you serve with sometimes too, not everybody, but there are some that you serve with that in the body that you can actually go to. And your vulnerability is important. Your vulnerability allows you to test and evaluate yourself and put you in a place of being very uncomfortable when people not necessarily are picking you apart, but they're saying, look, these are your weaknesses. These are the things that are overshadowing your strength. Don't get in this place where you're starting to act out because of these unhealthy coping mechanisms. They just ramp up. They just get worse when you don't talk, when you don't deal with them. I think that's why people deal with so many secret sins, like we were talking about, presumptuous sins and secret sins and things they do just to cope. Like, why are they doing that in the first place? Depending on who you're talking to, you know, if they're caught up in something, talks about how we bear one another's burdens, that means we have to be in a place of vulnerability. And so when you feel things are ramping up, some people have addictions to food, right? And you may not necessarily think, oh, well, just stop eating. That ain't really an issue. But it is, because whatever is keeping them eating like that and addicted, it's some emotional stuff going on. This is somebody you might be serving with. I've known them for 25 years. They are so faithful to God. They might have a food addiction. So everybody's so easy, you know, quick to point fingers and measure. Oh, well, you know, an addiction is an addiction. It's just a level of pride, and it's where it's idolatry. So, and it's indicative of something wrong. Something is wrong internally and has been a way that they manage and deal with difficult emotions. And I think I had heard about a minister who was always dealing with people with their weight, right? I don't think he was body shaming more than he was dealing with the fact that why are we so overweight? Why are we not more health conscious? But then getting down to the nit grit of why we eat the way we eat, why we do the things we do. And that's an internal examination. We are to examine, test, and evaluate ourselves, whether we are really committed to living what God has called us to in every area of our lives. And that's all I'm talking about tonight, is really that emotional, healthy stance that is ours. It's available to us. So when I mention Psalms, when I'm talking about Corinthians, and now I'm going to go to Peter, 2 Peter, actually, verses 1, 2 Peter 1, 10 through 11. Therefore, believer, be all more diligent to make certain about his calling and choosing you. Be sure that your behavior reflects and confirms your relationship with God. For by doing these things, actively developing these virtues, you will never stumble in your spiritual growth, and you will live a life that leads others away from their sin. For in this way, entry into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior Christ will be abundantly provided to you. Anyone? These are the things that we have to make certain. We have to check these things. And in this case, this has to do with emotions and soul issues and brokenness. Yes, it is wounded no more. But if you realize, okay, I've been serving God, you know, I've been serving and I've been faithful for 30 years. And just this year, maybe you're dealing with an internal emotional crisis. I don't know. It could be for whatever reason. Maybe you realize that you have some heavy heart issues that have never really been dealt with because you've been so busy trying to please people, but you say you're serving God, but you're really trying to please people. And you're not letting God deal with those things that are making you heavy, that do keep you twisted, that do make you have to feel like you have to wear a mask and fake the funk. Whatever it is, it's not okay. We need to stop doing this to ourselves. How can we call ourselves really adequately equipped to minister to other people that are way broken than us when we ain't dealing with our own stuff? We're not allowing God to deal with our stuff. We're not being honest. We got all these hidden motivation. We have conflict avoidance. There's an internal dishonesty that is just like, you know, second nature, which creates lack of integrity, and it hinders our love walk. You know, I've heard people say this over the year that I've been in ministry. You know, some people were Christians and some people weren't, and they said Christians are some of the meanest people they've ever met. And I didn't have anything to say towards that except that I said, we're not really taking care of ourselves the way we should, and we're not submitting ourselves to God the way we should so that we can be better servants. He wants to take care of our hearts so we can help take care of others' hearts and their soul issues. And I'm telling you right now, I'm encouraging everyone that you can't serve two masters. When you're fearing people and trying to please people and putting people where they shouldn't be and where God should be, you can't serve two people. You can't serve two masters.
Amen.
And you have to realize, and even serving yourself is trying to serve two masters. You can't. So, you know, God gave me an analogy today. I was praying about something, and he said, you know, some people struggle. Pray for those who struggle with, you know, A, B, or C. He said, but some people are in companionship with their issues. They like their friends. And he said, so pray for those who are ready to let go and don't know how, versus those who have joined forces, if you will, with the things that are keeping them bound.
Right.
He said, so you know, don't even pray about those things. So I just want you to be encouraged to release all these things to God. Talk to God first. Before, you know, he'll show you if or when and who you should go to to deal with your emotional dysfunction, your unhealthy coping mechanisms. That is not of God. These are pressure points and presumptuous things that we need to admit that we have them first. And that takes a level of weakness and vulnerability, humility. Then what you find is you will get strength. There's grace enough for it. I know many of us want to continue to serve the way that God has led us to serve. But let's be honest about the fallout. Let's be honest about our hearts and how we've gotten frustrated with folks, despondent, hurt, and we ain't really taking care of it. And he tells you the people to go to. He tells you how to deal with that. You know, I'm going to continue to talk about this again next week, Bishop, because I think I didn't even touch on half of the stuff that I had down here. But this is an ongoing thing that I probably will present until the end of the year. It's that layered. It's a lot of stuff here.
Yes, yes.
A lot, and I want us to want to be healed. So I know there are those who struggle who I will be praying for tonight, but I know some people are like, I'm cool with my stuff. Yeah, well, you shouldn't be serving if you are.
We shouldn't.
So,
Amen.
Too many hurt, broken people, too many people that are leaving by, you know, a mass exodus Christianity, like you would not believe. And so that being the case, we have the harvest is ripe, which means there are people out there crying out to be saved, and the laborers are few. And I think that it gave me a new perspective of laborers. For real.
Praise God.
Doing your own thing okay. That's a whole other subject, but I just want to stay on task.
Yeah, man, that's next week program.
And begin to pray for this issue based on what God lays on my heart for those who are struggling emotionally as they're serving.
Yeah.
This is for leaders in any capacity. Maybe not in evangelical or maybe in churchdom, but you are a leader in some way that God has called you to be. He's called you to be a servant to people. And so let's begin. I'm going to begin to pray and solicit the God who I know is a faithful God. And nothing he does is full of confusion or calamity. And even when it makes us uncomfortable, there's a purpose for it. So, Lord, right now, I just praise you and thank you for being such a sovereign God, full of justice and righteousness. I thank you right now today, Lord, that I begin to pray for the leaders, Lord, those who are hurting emotionally for whatever reason. There are some leaders, Father God, that are mourning as well. And they're trying to balance or make sense out of this emotional storm that some people have been in since last year. Those things, I believe, are heavy on your heart. You care about those who are still wounded. You care about those who are laying on the side and being forgotten. I thank you, Father God, today for strengthening us who can hold up the banner. Just like you had Aaron assigned to Moses to hold his hands up. That just shows me right now that there are those who we have come alongside who are dealing with emotional pain. I thank you, Lord, today right now for their hearts and their purpose. I pray that they open their mouth. I pray, Lord, that even in Psalms 19, 12, and 14, that was a prayer and a plea for that the meditations, that the words of my mouth and meditation of my heart be acceptable in his sight. But he also prayed that these presumptuous things be taken away from him. He didn't want these things in his heart. And so I thank you, Lord, today for that leader who is struggling, who has cried out, Lord, that you remind them that you are faithful. And the work that you do, Father God, is for the best for us. And even in our places of weaknesses, Lord, you're stripping away our agendas and our motives and saying that every good and perfect thing comes from the Father above. Even the things that we don't understand, give us clarity, Father God, and focus. Once again, refresh and restore us for those of us who are weary, for those of us who are focused maybe on the things that we shouldn't be. I thank you, Lord, today also for lightening the loads of those who carry things to try to please people, that trust people. They're carrying weights and burdens they shouldn't be carrying in the first place. And I thank you, Lord, today for bringing that to their attention, Lord. Also, deal with those who have dull hearing, who have been listening to the wrong voice for a long time, and they don't even recognize your voice. Give us, once again, Father God, a desire for your word so that we can study the word to be in relationship with you and be a better servant leader to those in our lives. I thank you, Lord, today for peace as well. There are people that are being tormented emotionally. You know, fear causes torment. And if they're afraid of people, they are living a tormented life, even in ministry, Lord Jesus. And this is what causes the imbalances and things that we see. Give us patience, Lord, and let our words be soothing and balm for those who need to, in our prayers as well as those who we are working in the fields alongside of, that we encourage them and exhort them and lift them up and only speak to them based on who they are in Christ. And help us to speak to areas of the soul as well, that they, where they are being stretched, where people are just tired, period. And I thank you, Lord, for answering these prayers and ministering to us the only way that you know how, in the name of Jesus Christ, amen. Amen.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Help us, Lord, to speak the truth in love, too. And I just thank God for allowing me to teach this to you all tonight. There's more coming, because even as I'm looking at my notes, I'm like, there's so much here. So prayerfully, I will continue to deliver this, and I feel like this is going to be something that will be enough, more than enough material for the rest of the year, because I care about the hearts of our leaders, and I know many leaders are dealing with multiple assignments and missions in their lives and their families, and for some people are taking a beating. You know, they really are. So my heart is to pray for teachers as well, but also, especially, you know, I consider them also servant leaders, taking care of your heart. Thank you, Bishop. I'm done.
You're so welcome, beautiful woman of God. Hallelujah. What a powerful teaching, and I am so glad that we are going to be continuing on in this vein, because it is so important. Servant leaders, we cannot give away what we don't have within ourselves. So we have to keep our emotional bond. You know, we have to be free of emotional bondage in order to help others come up out of theirs. So thank you so much, Prophetess. This was a beautiful teaching. And we just pray that you continue to walk with Prophetess Vanessa as she helps us to really want to be healed. So I want to thank you for listening. And we just pray that you continue to have a beautiful and blessed weekend, that you acknowledge Christ in all that you do, and from our household to yours, it is truly our fervent prayer that you be ye transformed. Good night, and God bless you from us, all of us here at the Spirit Alive Network on Wounded No More. Beautiful job, Prophetess.
Thank you. Good night, everyone.
Amen. Good night.